You're listening to The Takeaway from WNYC and PRI Public Radio International in collaboration with the BBC World Service, The New York Times, and WGBH Radio Boston.
Let's start an argument.
And I marvel that you can be so contemptuous of me on the same day that you lose your job.
Listen, I didn't lose it. It's not like, whoops, where'd my job go? I quit.
Imagine you're listening to this dinner table argument from the film American Beauty. Only the plates and glasses and silverware are warping and bending as though they're part of the argument. The objects themselves seem to talk. It's the premise of an art installation called Crossfire, and it's just a small part of an exhibit at the Museum of Modern Art exploring how objects and the artists and designers who make them communicate with us. Paolo Antonelli is the senior curator of architecture and design at New York's Museum of Modern Art, currently holding the exhibit called Talk to Me. She joins us in the studio now. Paolo, thanks so much for being here.
Hey, super, John. Always happy to be here.
It's great to see you. And what a great piece of work, this exhibit. I mean, I was there over the weekend. It was a mob scene.
Thank you. I know. It's great to just spend time in the galleries and watch people.
One of the great things, though, you know, describe the premise of this exhibit, because it really is all about objects imparting their emotional qualities in so many different ways and designers helping that conversation between humans and objects. You really had a sense at this exhibit that anyone can play.
Yeah, absolutely. And, you know, people sometimes accuse me of being always an apologist for technology. But in truth, what I'm interested in are exhibitions that are about very ancient themes that are brought back to life by technology. And in this case, we've always had a rapport with objects. Throughout the centuries, there's been literature. People have wax poetics on it. But today, because of digital technology, that relationship has become much more explicit, verbal, textual, like a conversation.
Well, it's two-way, it's multi-channels, and we'll explore that in a minute. We begin with some of the more prosaic, straightforward, but I think happy examples of machines communicating well with humans. One of these subway card vending machines is in the exhibit, and you see just how well and simply it communicates with people.
True. It's the MTA MetroCard vending machine, so it's New York. It's a New York fixture. And what I love about it is that it's this sturdy, burly machine that just sits there with big patches of enameled colors, you know, primary colors. And the hardware and the software are equally burly, and you can imagine these burly guys from the MTA with their mittens just poking the machine. It's really sturdy.
It's true. It's like
clear.
The machine is saying, you're going to get on the train. Don't worry.
Yeah.
It's
no
all right.
Problem. We're going to get
great.
You there.
That is so true. You know, part of the exhibit also, and there's fabulous examples of animation and the power of animation, it seems that designers have learned just how willing consumers are to go with an animated object, icon, avatar, etc.
Yeah, you know, it's funny. It's something that's been around for a long time. I was just looking yesterday at an interview that I did with Johnny Ive, you know, the designer
from Apple,
years ago. And I was telling him how I always considered my Mac Classic a little pug dog. And he was telling me, yeah, you know, there's always this temptation to give objects pet names. We try not to trivialize technology, but in truth, there is that kind of relationship that is established at the beginning. And kids right now are looking for buttons, are trying to expand screens with their hands. It's just normal. It's expected. It's demanded.
How do designers exploit that? In other words, start with the principle of, you know, maybe this looks like a pug dog, you know, which may be something that is an afterthought, and actually make that in the foreground. I want this object to embody a creature of some kind.
Well, there's exploitation and there's awareness. Exploitation is by exaggerating the emotional look of objects and kind of like trying to get under your skin, which is a little bit of a cop-out. But instead, awareness is very important. It's when you know that you have to be a scriptwriter a little bit. You have to at least set down the basics of the conversation that will then develop. So without overdoing it, being aware is important.
And designers are having fun with this. They're actually doing things that increase the ability of objects to communicate with consumers.
They're having fun and they're taking it seriously. You know, they've been talking about storytelling for a long time. That's already kind of a frayed conversation. But this is about script writing. It's about knowing what's going to happen when the object is released or the software is released into the world.
I'm wondering if you're surprised. I mean, we know. And you can go to the Metropolitan Museum and look in all the decorative arts kinds of things and see objects that are filled with memories, mementos of meanings that we've given an object. Everybody knows the power of an object like that to deliver an emotional punch. Were you surprised that objects that we have no relationship with can come and dictate an emotional quality to them from the get-go. I'm amazed by some of the objects with just little pixelated faces that suddenly make you cry, make you happy. You're empathic with them.
You're talking to the wrong person because I go through life as if it were a Looney Tune cartoons. You know, it's like I have fire hydrants talking to me. So I get moved by objects all the time. But the exhibition was to let people understand that emotion, you know, so yeah.
Well, talk to me about this game, The Passage, which I played. It's 5 minutes long. You're sort of moving a little icon around that over the 5 minutes you begin to identify is you. All it is a lifespan. You see it sort of slow down as life continues. You gradually have the impression you're entering middle age. You don't really literally understand what's going on, but when it dies at the end,
yeah,
it's
Passage
amazing.
Is amazing, devastating. Passage is that.
There was a huge crowd gathered around this. And when I died, when I was playing it, everybody went, oh.
I know. It's incredible. 5 minutes. You have to choose whether you want a companion or not. If you choose a companion, life is longer but more complicated.
Oh.
If you're by yourself, you have a better time, easier, less obstacles, but you die earlier, sooner. There's a little tombstone at the end. You get gray. You lose your hair.
I saw it all.
Yeah, I know. It's
amazing.
And you only have one life. You know, every video game, you usually have a second life, not there.
No, yeah,
only once.
Amazing. Amazing. Finally, there's a quality of visualization in some of the objects. Describe how powerful it was to see those maps that are created. I'm reminded of Inception, where the world starts to roll up and you can both be in the landscape and be looking down over the streetscape of a city. Some of the maps that you have in this exhibit are really just give you a completely different dimension of a city.
The beauty of digital technology is when it's used to give you a deeper understanding or a different point of view over life and over the city especially. And in this case, you picked the work of Berg. Berg is a company in London that does this all the time. So that particular map is interesting, but another website that they did called BBC Dimensions is also fantastic because it lets you superimpose events that happened elsewhere onto your home turf, on the map of your home, so you can see how big they really were. So you can see Manhattan bending over you like Inception. You can see the floods in Pakistan superimposed on the tri-state area. And it's just magic that happens when people get a more empathetic and more direct understanding of the world.
Well, that's certainly the mission of this exhibit, Talk to Me, at the Museum of Modern Art here in New York. Paola Antonelli is Senior Curator of Architecture and Design at the MoMA. Thank you.
Thank you.
There's a lot going on right now. Mounting economic inequality, threats to democracy, environmental disaster, the sour stench of chaos in the air. I'm Brooke Gladstone, host of WNYC's On the Media. Want to understand the reasons and the meanings of the narratives that led us here, and maybe how to head them off at the pass? That's On the Media's specialty. Take a listen wherever you get your podcasts.